On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Good afternoon, Namibia. Today is Thursday, the 8th of May, 2025, and the time is 4 minutes past the, now 5 minutes past the hour of 1300 hours. I'm your host, Nafa Happy Juju, and you're tuned into On the Radar, your daily gateway to the most important stories shaping Namibia, Africa, and the world. Here's what we're covering in today's news bulletin. The Health Ministry's plan to fill over 11,000 new positions, what it means for service delivery and the national budget. Namibia University of Science and Technology celebrates its largest graduating class ever, a record-breaking milestone in higher education. Over $9 billion Namibian was distributed to 86 communal conservancies to compensate for livestock and crop damages caused by wildfire. And of course, we want to hear from you. Call us on 083-288-401 and share your views, questions, or experiences. Whether you've got something to say about health, education, sports, or the state of your community, this is your space right here on the Radar. So let's dive right into the headlines. The Namibia University of Science and Technology, NAST, is set to host its largest graduation ceremony to date, with more than 2,800 students expected to receive their qualifications this Thursday and Friday. Now, this milestone reflects a significant achievement for the institution, marking a growth rate of over 40% compared to its first graduating class a decade ago. The steady increase underscores the university's expanding role in Namibia's higher education and its contribution to national development. NAS spokesperson Gervasius Nashilongo noted that this year also sees the highest number of master's and doctoral degrees conferred in the university's history, a testament to the institution's growing focus on research and postgraduate education. This achievement is not only a reflection of the growth in student numbers, but also in the depth and quality of academic programs offered, Nashilongo said. The graduation is expected to draw attendees from across the country as families, academic staff, and industry partners gather to celebrate the success of the class of 2025. As NAS continues to expand its academic reach, this year's ceremony marks a key moment in the university's journey towards becoming a leading center of innovation, research, and professional excellence in the region. Let's now speak to Cindy van Wyk, a public relations officer at the Namibia University of Science and Technology. Good afternoon, Cindy van Wyk, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So the Namibia University of Science and Technology graduates 2,800 students this year, this time around for Thursday and Friday. Kindly walk us through this milestone.
We are so proud of our students. It is an incredible milestone, and we are just so happy to celebrate them today. We will have two sessions today. Thursday and then one session tomorrow morning, and we will be graduating the largest master's cohort as well as the largest PhD cohort when we will be celebrating or conferring 9 PhDs.
Interesting. And you're also celebrating, NAS is celebrating 10-year anniversary since renaming or rebranding to the Namibia University of Science and Technology from Polytechnic.
That's correct. So some people may not know that actually NAS was founded in 1980 as an academy. So we have been around for quite a few years, but in 2015, we were signed an Act of Parliament was signed into effect, and then Polytechnic of Namibia became NAS as we know and love it today. So we are celebrating this all year round under the theme A Decade of Eminence. And so much of our celebrations this year will be geared around that big milestone.
Just how exactly is the atmosphere at the Mekia Hotel today of those who are graduating? I mean, considering that it's a high number of people that are graduating. And from what I've actually noticed, most of them are from the Faculty of Commons, and not so much from the health faculty.
Today, we have two sessions, and both of those sessions are only the Faculty of Commerce. The other three faculties will graduate tomorrow. So because we have such a big group, we had to split it. But we are so excited. The atmosphere is amazing. The girlies are looking beautiful. The guys are looking dapper. There's just such a celebratory and happy atmosphere, and it's all going down at Mekia today.
Mm. Now, do you think are there further plans to increase enrollment or perhaps introduce new programs in the near future for NAST?
Oh, definitely. We are constantly increasing our programs. And in fact, we have expanded our academic offerings significantly in the past 10 years. That's something that we're also celebrating this year. In 2015, we had our graduate growth has increased with 44% since 2015. So we're also celebrating that. We're celebrating the fact that, of course, since we are expanding, we have 4 campuses now and 10 regional centers, and we have plans for another campus. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely programs in the works. We have programs in AI. We have programs in actuarial science. So we're constantly just trying to innovate, do better, do more.
Mm. Now, with all those new programs that have also been rolled out recently, would you say we can expect more graduates now that also tertiary education come 2026 is going to be free?
I definitely expect that. We are very, very on board with the president's decision. We are looking forward to working hand in hand with government to make it a reality and to make education accessible to all, not just all Namibians, but everyone, everyone in Southern Africa, everyone in Africa. We want everyone to have the opportunity that education offers and the doors that it can open to you. So we're very excited about that.
Absolutely. Cindy Van Wyk, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radar News Bulletin. But before I actually do let you go, anything else you want to say regarding this graduation of so much of a cohort of number of people and also the 10-year anniversary? Is there something specific that NAST has planned in store?
We've been celebrating all year. We started with our official opening in March. So every NAST event will be a celebration. We've got things planned for the whole year, but we definitely have something special lined up. I can't say too much right now, but definitely know that we have so much more in store. There's so many things happening at NAST, and it's just such an exciting atmosphere. I just want to say congratulations once again to all our graduates. We are so proud of you. NAST is so committed to student well-being and student success, and we're just seeing this today makes everything worth it. All the hiccups, all the struggles, everything that these students have been through to prosper and to thrive. And we're just so proud of them.
Absolutely. Cindy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay.
Time for a quick commercial break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back before you know it.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Welcome back. In other news, the Ministry of Health and Social Services will require over 4.5 billion Namibian dollars to fill more than 11,700 newly approved positions over the next 6 years, Health Minister Dr. Esperance Luvindao announced on Tuesday. However, due to fiscal constraints, the government will only be able to fill 434 of their spots in the current 2025-2026 financial year, it said. The recruitment of this initial position, says, will cost the state $150 million, which will be drawn from the ministry's total human resource allocation of $536 million. Now, it remains unclear which specific roles or regions will be prioritized in the initial recruitment phase or how the ministry intends to phase in the remaining positions over the next six-year period. Analysts say the move to create this new positions is critical to addressing shortages of healthcare professionals in public facilities, but caution that the financial commitment must be matched with efficient execution and long-term planning. Let's now interrogate this further with Dr. Kamtufe Oscar Johannes. Good afternoon, Dr. Kamtufe Oscar Johannes, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, Happy. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Ministry of Health and Social Services has allocated $536 million for human resources, yet only 434 posts have been going to be created for this financial year. Now, this is out of 11,742 new positions that should be filled for a period of 6 years. As a doctor in the health fraternity, how do you say exactly does the ministry intend to meet this target? Is there start off on a slow pace like this?
I honestly don't think the ministry will reach its target within the sixth phase, which is 6 years. Because if the ministry intends to fill those posts, which is around 11,742 new posts, mm-hmm. over the 6 years, which is six phases, I think they are just dealing with 4% mm-hmm. out of their targets each and every phase. And by the end of 6 years, I don't think they will be able to reach the target, unless if maybe they will do like a private partners, or maybe they will negotiate with some donors, or maybe they will look at it is human resource budget during the budget. The midterm budget review, mm-hmm. so that they can increase the percentage per phase.
Mm. Now, the Ministry of Health and Social Services is already understaffed with medical health professionals in different fields. Or which health field of health professions would you say the ministry could target at this moment?
I think right now, at the moment, they need to target to recruit more nurses and specialist, because I understand so far I think we are doing good when it's coming to GP, which are just general practitioner mm-hmm. or the doctors. Mm-hmm. I think for now they need to focus on nurses, RN, we call them RN, those are registered nurses, yeah. and EN, yes.
And enrolled
and
nurses.
And also, I don't think in our ministry we have lots of radiographers. They need also to pay more attention on radiographers and, pharmacists mm-hmm. and also pharmacy technicians. I don't think under our ministry we so far have lots of pharmacy technicians. They really need to pay more attention on those that I've mentioned.
Yeah. Now, Doctor, the Ministry of Health and Social Services has been under public scrutiny recently over shortage of medicines in its health hospitals. Now, of course, the ministry has responded with a document to give figures of how much worth of stock on certain medications or bandages and stuff like that. And they cited that this are fabricated stories or actually untrue stories. Now, when you actually speak to the people on ground, with the patients themselves and the nurses and doctors, they are talking about shortage of medicines, a shortage of equipment at the hospitals. Who exactly then do we as public tend to when we're looking for accountability and transparency in this regard?
You see, when medias or journalists are reporting these things, they are not just reporting these things from themselves. It should be coming from those people that are on ground. And when we are talking about people that are on ground, are patients. Mm-hmm. And also some nurses, they are the ones that are coming out that no, in the hospital, they are not these types of medication. They are not these types of medication. And I'm even wondering because just to release a memo, to release a letter which is going viral on the public that no, whatever it's coming out from the media or from the newspaper is not true. Mm-hmm. While you are just writing these papers in your office and you are telling us that no, there are medication in the storage. Yes, if there are medication on the storage, take this medication from the storage and distribute to the hospital so that public or patients will stop complaining about it.
Mm-hmm.
Got yes.
It. Yeah. Now, what about the issue of referral of patients to private hospitals due to absence of essential equipment such as MRAs, MRA machines, and also the figure or the amount of money that actually goes into spending on ambulance services to transport a patient from a public private hospital to a private hospital facility, and then them getting there and being treated obviously on a high figure and coming back, that's transport cost and money that is involved, a lot of money that is involved. What about actually the ministry getting to upgrade public hospitals? Of course, this is something that I've said is in the pipeline, but isn't it something that is perhaps overdue?
I'm even worried because I've been also asking myself lots of questions, because after 35 years, we are still referring patients from our public to private.
Mm.
And yesterday I was listening to parliament. I was watching the parliament, and one of the members of parliament say that there are some patients that are being sent to private hospital because of MRA. And for you to send the patients to private, you should have money.
Mm.
Because per patient, and these are some of the expensive machines, per patient, those private hospitals, they might even ask you maybe around 20 or 25,000. Why can't we just put this money together maybe for 1 year or for 2 years and buy one at least for the public, or maybe two or three?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of wasting money up and down to the private hospital. I think some of these things we really need to look at into it, because if you look at after 35 years, we don't have MRI machines. And these machines, I last time I checked the prices of these MRI machines,
mm-hmm.
it's some of them, they are around 10 million. And if you look at public hospital referring patient to private, 25,000 or 20 per patient, and you don't even know, maybe they per year they sent around 50 or 40. It's already one MRA machine
mm.
for a public hospital.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We really need to look into these things, yes.
Mm. Katutura State Hospital, Katutura Hospital was emergency services was upgraded. That is within partnership with Standard Bank and the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund of Namibia. Is there something we can also perhaps look into, or is it that the ministry can perhaps look into private companies also coming on board to perhaps towards a social corporate responsibility for them to help upgrade our public health hospitals?
Yes, it's a good initiative from Standard Bank, and you say they are the other company.
NBA Fund.
Yeah, and NBA Fund, they really did good job. But for me, I have a problem with keep on renovating those our old hospital. You see, Katutura and Central Hospital, those are our old referral hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we still need to keep on putting money into the two hospitals. We need to build a new hospital, or maybe two hospitals. You see, these are outdated facilities. And if you are talking about outdated facility, they are not equipped to handle modern medical technology. The world is moving.
Mm.
And some of these Katutura and Central Hospital, they were built maybe 1970 or 1960.
Mm.
We really need to put money together and build a new hospital, with modern technology.
Yeah.
The ministry need to look look into that.
Mm-hmm. It says that a new hospital will be built outside on the outskirts of Havana, somewhere there. I just don't know when exactly this process may begin.
I think I read the news some month ago. They said yes, they're about to start, but I honestly have a doubt if they are going to start with that hospital, because last time I checked, she was a vice president by then. Mm-hmm. Our president, Her Excellency. There was a time she went there to
lay the groundwork.
Was it? Yes. I thought by then it was to start, but until today it did not start. But let's have a hope that they will start with it. But I hope that hospital will be built with modern equipment and technology.
Mm-hmm.
We really need, because if you look at into SADC, if you look at country like Zambia, there is a hospital called Lady Mwanawasa Hospital. It's a very big hospital, and I wish our Minister of Health will take time and visit that hospital. We really need something of that nature.
Mm. Dr. Oscar, any sentiments that you would want to share in regards to our health ministry and what we would want to see in future?
No, what I can add is that we, as Namibians, everyone in Namibia, we need to support the Ministry of Health, because if we are not supporting it, we will not go anywhere. And I would like to appreciate, I would like to thank every member of parliament, because yesterday I was following what they were debating. You can really tell that they are coming together, they are supporting each other, and we should go like that. If we have such types of leader, Namibia will be another mini Europe in years to come.
Mm.
Yes.
Doctor, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Bulletin.
All right, thank you.
And now we pause here, take a trip to the marketplace, but we have yet more news coming your way, so stay tuned. Also, our studio line is open. You are more than welcome to dial in on the studio, on the number in studio on 083-288-401.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Uyo mnangeshefa ni wahara kushivipa oma kuroyo kupitira mohorike radio station na weyo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi kono rahetatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa kono rahetatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Welcome back. FNB Namibia has announced that private sector credit grew by 5.0% year on year in March 2025, up from 3.9% in February, the strongest pace in 5 years. Now, according to the private sector credit expansion, March 2025 corporate credit surged to 8.2% year on year versus 5.9% in February, while household credit rose slightly to 2.8% from 2.6% recorded in the previous month. Installment and leasing climbed to 17.1% on month on month, while other loans and advances also saw growth stemming from high demand from the energy and manufacturing sectors. Overdrafts grew by 0.8% month on month after 13 months of contraction, while mortgage credit remained flat at 0.0% in March 2025 versus 0.5% year-on-year recorded in February 2025. Now moving forward, FNB experts growth to kick mainly driven by corporate sides as households continue to face ongoing challenges such as unemployment levels coupled with lack of confidence in the market amidst economic uncertainties, which will continue to weigh down households' overall private sector credit expansion. And our commercial break is coming up and we'll continue with this particular news right after when we come back. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Olu mnangeshefa no wahara kushivifa oma akuroyo kupitira mohorike radio station aweyo Eagle FM. Enyamukuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali oheta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Growth in the private sector credit extension rose to 5% in March 2025 compared to the previous month that recorded a growth of 3.9%. That has been the highest growth recorded since December 2020. This growth is mainly attributed by increase in corporate demand, which saw an increase of 8.2% in March 2025 compared to 5.2% recorded in February 2025. On the household segment, we've also seen a slight increase from 2.6% to 2.8%. And mainly this increase from both segments is attributed to increase in installment and leasing credit demand as well as other loans and advances. We've seen that installment and leasing climbed to 17.1% month on month, while other loans and advances also saw growth, mainly stemming from increasing demand from the energy and as well as the manufacturing sectors. We have also seen that overdraft grew by 0.8% month on month, and that is after 13 months of contraction, while mortgage credit remained very flat at 0.0% in the month being observed. So moving forward, we still do expect increase in demand in private sector credit extension, but mainly coming from the corporate front. Household segment are still faced with challenges such as unemployment, low wages, which will continue to weigh down the household private sector credit extension and just the overall private credit credit extension.
And now for a commercial break.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM.
Taking flight has never been easier.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto amina apiri kwa mavcha aziva. Mwere kisema app ato kasi nchavu kamso. Zakare liferire mise kunani zencha kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zali vuka.
Taking flight has never been easier. Paratus is introducing SkyFi internet packages with speeds that will have you reaching for your seatbelts, starting from $500 excluding VAT per month, with speeds reaching up to 10 megabits per second. There's even a prepaid option where you can top up your SkyFi internet for just $15 per gigabyte. No contracts, no fuss. Visit your nearest Paratus branch to find out more. Or go to paratus.africa/Namibia to sign up online. Always prepared. Paratus.
Welcome back. In March 2025, Namibia's exports stood at 10.1 billion Namibian dollars and imports at 12.8 billion Namibian dollars, resulting in the country's trade deficit accounting to 2.7 billion Namibian dollars. That is according to the Namibia International Merchandise Trade Statistics Bulletin for March 2025. Now, during the period under review, exports decreased by 0.4% and increased by 22.6% when compared to February 2025 and March 2024, respectively. The import value increased by 5.2% when compared to the value recorded in February 2025 and decreased by $2 million when compared to the value recorded in March 2024. Botswana was the country's largest export destination, with a share of 19.7% of all goods exported, followed closely by South Africa, with a share of 18.9%. Furthermore, Zambia, China and Belgium formed part of Namibia's top five export markets. The demand side saw South Africa maintaining its position as the country's largest source for imports, accounting for 39.4% of total imports into Namibia, followed by India in a distant second with 19.3% of the market share. China, the DRC and Oman were among the country's top five import markets. The analysis of exports by commodities revealed that precious stones, diamonds, had the largest share of the export basket, accounting for 20.1% of Namibia's total export, ahead of fish, which accounted for 13.6%. Non-monetary gold, uranium and copper and articles of copper also formed part of the top five exported products. In terms of imports, petroleum oil with a share of 20.0% was the highest imported commodity during the month under study, while motor vehicles for commercial purposes in second accounted for a share of 4.3%. Inorganic chemical elements, nickel ores and concentrates and civil engineering and contractors equipment were part of the top five imported products. Regarding economic blocks, SACU emerged as the largest export market during March 2025, contributing 38.5% to total exports, followed by the OECD market accounting for 24.8%, while the EU contributed 19.2% in third place. SADC excluding SACU, 18.5%, and COMESA, 17.5%, occupied the fourth and fifth positions. On the demand side, SACU maintained its position as the largest source for Namibia's imports, with a share of 40.2% of the total import bill, followed by OECD and BRIC, with a contribution of 22.5% and 18.6%. In terms of mode and transport, a diverse number of goods were exported via sea transport, accounting for 43.4% of total exports, followed by air transport at 33.1% and road transport at 23.5%. On the demand side, road transport took first position, accounting for 62.6% of total imports, followed by sea transport and air transport, separately contributing 34.1% and 3.1%. On the African Continental Free Trade Area, the focus was on Namibia's inter-Africa trade, and for the period under study, Namibia was a net importer. However, a positive development was observed, evidenced by the fact that the trade deficit has been narrowing, especially since 2022. Now, with regards to trade on food items and beverages, for the month under review, Namibia was a net exporter when it comes to food items, with a trade surplus of 361 million Namibian dollars, while beverages recorded a deficit of 183 Namibian dollars. Finally, an analysis of the exploitation and importation of cigarettes as the commodity of the month revealed that in March 2025, Namibia imported cigarettes worth 42.1 million Namibian dollars, mostly from South Africa and Switzerland, while on the supply side, the country re-exported cigarettes at the value of 0.1 million Namibian dollars and was mostly destined to Norway and Luxembourg. Imports and exports of commodity averaged 38.3 million Namibian dollars and 1.0 million Namibian dollars respectively over the period of March 2024 to March 2025.
The Namibia Statistics Agency has just released the International Merchandise Trade Statistics Bulletin. That is for the month of March 2025, whereby Namibia's exports stood at 10.1 billion. and imports at 12.8 billion, resulting in the country's trade deficit of 2.7 billion. Exports decreased by 0.4% and increased by 22.6% when compared to February 2025 and March 2024. The import value increased by 5.2% when compared to the value recorded in February 2025 and decreased by 2 million when compared to the value recorded in March 2024.
We're stepping out just for a moment, but stay put. We've got more coming your way right after this.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto wami na apiri kwa mavchaziva. Muvele kisema ep ato kasinchavu kamso, zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba ep, mwikutwe kulimusi emba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha falizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilini, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyalizwi la mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasfera sesfa ep ya imba kize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Africans, nizengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kireke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko wa lifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalite.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Ulio mnangeshefa ni wahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira muhurike radio station aweyo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi kono rahe tatu imwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa kono rahe tatu natu, mbali o he tatu vatatu, ne no la no natu. Ninge tumo emaila monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa
Eagle FM the eye
mukungu lele kwa tuko.
Welcome back. The Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism motivation for the Budget Allocation Appropriation Bill for 2025 financial year by Indeleni Daniel indicated that during the 2024-2025 financial year, nearly 9 billion Namibian dollars was distributed to 86 communal conservancies to compensate for livestock and crop damages caused by wildlife. Now, additionally, 3,443,417 Namibian dollars was provided to communities outside conservancies for loss of life, injuries, and further damages resulting from wildlife interactions. Member of Parliament Jenny Matundu shared her contributions to this in the August House. Let's take a listen.
Honorable Chairperson of the whole House Committee, honorable members, I ask to support the vote, and I have a comment on Program 1, which is wildlife and protected area management, and I specifically want to have a remark on human wildlife conflict mitigation. On compensation for livestock, Comrade Minister, the compensation for livestock losses due to human wildlife conflict has been reported to have increased from 5,000 to 8,000 as of 1st of April 2025. My proposal is that in future, we should really look at the value of an animal loss and compensate accordingly as a relief to farmers affected by wildlife damage. On damages caused by wildlife, The biggest challenge here, as just as Comrade Minister has mentioned in your motivation, that elephants are one of the biggest challenges faced by the crop farmers. Elephants damages seasonal gardens of farmers. Myself standing here in 2020, I have to restart my whole fence for my garden to the value of more than 25,000. But today, as we speak, these elephants are just waiting. The moment you are about to harvest, they will come and destroy everything, forcing us farmers now to go to other villages where it's better, because I'm living with elephants in my village. So now we are forced to go to other villages to go and ask for a place there to go and do our crop production. Comrade Minister, crocodiles and hippos has caused havoc over the years among those who reside alongside the rivers. My question is, Comrade Minister, my question is, what did the Epalela crocodile did to deserve to be killed, as it was really provoked? The evidence is there. What did this crocodile did? Thank you, Chairperson, Deputy Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome back. And I'm still talking about this nearly $9 million dollars distributed to 86 communal conservancies to compensate for livestock and crop damages. And an additional of more than $3 million provided to communities outside conservancies for loss of life, injuries and further damages. I have Sonny Nurupesh. Sonny, good afternoon and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure. Sonny. Wow. A compensation why has the compensation to communal conservancies reached nearly 9 million in 1 year? And is there a rise in wildlife conflict incidents, or why is the figure so high? Obviously, I know.
It is high because as we, the communities are growing, there will be more incidences of human-wildlife conflict.
Yeah.
But what we haven't gotten the data on is what are the cases, what has happened, what are the incidences, where was it mostly paid?
Yeah.
Was it one incident that was very high? Was it a few incidences? And that data is extremely critical to understand how to deal with it going forward, because without that, we don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. Another question that's actually coming to my mind is, how does the ministry, or what specific criteria does the ministry use to determine compensation amounting to livestock, crop and human losses due to wildlife?
There is like value to every cattle, every head of cattle and things like that. So there must be a formula, and I would appreciate if the ministry kind of shares with everyone to understand what is happening. But I also understand from ministry side there's a fear that if they actually release it, people might misuse it to claim compensation if they see the high value to it. So, what stops you from kind of making it up?
Yeah.
And the proofs around it. So I think there's it's something that one has to discuss more with the stakeholders and understand how more one can deal with it.
Now, as someone in the tourism sector, what proactive measures could you say should be put in place to reduce human-wildlife conflict before compensation becomes necessary?
I think, there's a very big overlap between tourism, conservation, and hunting, and a lot of these sectors in the ministry. And I think a lot of times we are not talking to all the stakeholders to understand how to better work around it.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Damara land, lots of tour operators who just go around everywhere. There is, just as an example, there are safaris or drives that take you to see the wild elephants in Damara land. And what is to say that these tourists are not scaring wildlife to go into the communities?
Mm.
And then something happens. So there needs to be a lot of cross-sector awareness, training, discussions, to find a way where we can actually work together and make sure that, you know, one benefits the other. For example, I'll give you like the Itosha fence.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Itosha boundary is not complete or it's broken down. If you see the budget, they've talked about redoing it.
Yeah.
And this directly works with tourism now, with the visa fees. Maybe some of the money from the visa, new visa fees can be used towards this. So all of these things need to be discussed further. Actually, we started working on.
I'm actually wondering if the ministry does collaborate with outsiders, private sectors, and like you mentioned, the to discuss with those actually on ground when tabling the budget, you know, or when motivating for it, to see what areas do you think are more important, so that we can perhaps even just not just perhaps having to cut down on compensating those who get injured or lost lives via wildlife and all that. Some of these things.
Yeah, maybe, look, one of the reasons, maybe they're increasing, if you look at the budget, they're increasing the number of concessions.
Yeah.
How they're planning to. Concessions has not always been very liked by many people because of the lack of transparency, but concession is always also put in place so that the company in charge of the concession has then the responsibility of running it sustainably and properly.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe from their perspective, the concession was, more concessions are set up to kind of outsource that responsibility to the concession holders, mm-hmm. apart from the ministry themselves.
Yeah.
And that does work if it's done properly and if the concession holder is also the right company to run it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it can also end up in more misuse of the concession areas.
Yeah, that's true. Then it just goes into companies benefiting but not really giving the actual solution. Now, for you being in tourism and also having a major knowledge on in technology, what other alternatives could you say the ministry could explore, such as technology-based solutions as wildlife tracking?
Yeah, look, for very good reason, we don't allow drones. But there are other solutions out there, and if it's actually with the reliable entities, the drones and satellite technology can be extremely useful for tracking.
Mm.
We do have GPS trackers on some of the lions and wildlife, but again, I don't think a lot of them are working. There's always complaints, of theft.
Mm.
And I think this is where one needs to kind of, if ministry opens up a lot of the information to relevant stakeholders, not critical information, but just on what's happening and what technology they need,
yeah.
I think it can get a lot more investors and other partners involved to provide the technology. So they know what ministry is looking for. Right now, where we are is ministry waits for the companies to come up with solutions without having any data around it.
Mm. You spoke about, for a very good reason, drones are not allowed. And I also came across it that drones are not allowed on national parks. Why is that the case?
Oh, it's for anti-poaching or misuse. Like, I mean, you can scare the animals. You can track animals.
Mm-hmm.
Drones are used by poachers a lot of the places.
Mm.
So it is to avoid that. But also at the same time, I would say, you know, drone license takes 3 weeks, a month sometimes,
mm-hmm.
then if a tourist is bringing a drone without a license, just keep it at the airport. Don't even let them come into the country because it's illegal.
Mm.
Countries like India and the other countries, we actually don't allow drones unless you have a license. You can't take it into the country.
Mm.
So why can't we look at those things instead of doing it on park bases or certain areas only?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the human wildlife conflict is not necessarily in the parks. It's also in open spaces like Damaland and all,
mm-hmm.
where nobody can monitor drone usage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yes.
Before I let you go, where would you say the ministry should put its focus on? McHenry Venani asked in Parliament, how does the ministry actually market itself or market Namibia as a tourist destination?
I think there needs to be a lot more collaborative efforts. That's all I can say. It shouldn't be... in other countries, you will see it's not just one entity responsible for marketing a country.
Yeah.
Everybody works together to market the country, the destination.
Mm.
And here we don't have that collaboration where everybody can work together to market. I'll give you an example. Just this morning, one of the countries, India, mm-hmm. I found out they have a website where every tourism company can register and get the videos, get the photos, get brochures mm-hmm. to use. They can use it anywhere they want with licenses without any permission. Mm-hmm. And if you start giving that content, a lot more Namibians will promote Namibia
yeah.
instead of having to do their own content every time.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the small things that one can start working on, collaborating on to start marketing Namibia more.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be just one entity's job.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that would be, and that would cut, that'll be like shooting two birds with one stone, because if someone goes too successfully, they went there on their own cost and then their own initiative, and they take pictures, and then this goes can be used anyway. Imagine.
Yes, exactly.
Sunny Nirupesh, thank you so much for making time.
No,
for
thanks
us,
a lot. Absolutely, thanks a lot.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
And there you had it. Now let's pause here, take a trip to the marketplace. When we do return, we'll be bringing you trading economics and what's happening today.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. And now what's making headlines today in trading economics. Now, in agricultural commodities, the top commodity gainers are orange juice at 7.59%, canola at 1.05%, and cocoa at 0.93%, with the biggest losers being wool at negative 1.57% and coffee at minus 1.15%. Rapeseed comes in at negative 1.01%. Now, for metal commodities, the top commodity losers are lithium carbonate at minus 2.010%, iron ore at minus 1.28%, and gold at minus 0.98%. Now, on energy commodities, the top commodity gainers are natural gas, EU Dutch at 1.81%, natural gas UK, UK GBP at 1.66%, and natural gas at 0.94%, crude oil WTI at 0.75%, and blend crude oil at 0.38%. On South Africa, South Africa's manufacturing production fell by 0.8% year on year in March 2025, following a 3.2% slump in February. Now, this marked the fifth consecutive month of declines in industrial activity, although it was the mildest in the sequence. Now, output continued to decline in several sectors, but at a slower pace in some cases. Electrical machinery at 12.2% versus minus 9%. Petroleum, chemical products, rubber and plastic products at minus 2.5% versus minus 5.4%. Wood and wood products, paper, publishing and printing at minus 2.1% versus minus 3.2%, and food beverages at minus 0.4% versus -0.2%. Now, in addition, significant rebounds were observed in glass and non-metallic mineral products at 4.4% versus -7%, and textile, clothing, leather, and footwear at 1.8% versus -1.4%. On a seasonally adjusted monthly basis, manufacturing output shrank by 2.2% in March after an upwardly revised 0.7% rise in the prior month. Industrial output increased by 2.3% in the first quarter of 2025 compared to the fourth quarter of 2024. Meanwhile, the trade deficit in Greece expanded to 3.0 billion euros in March 2025 from 2.4 billion euros in the same month last year, as exports dropped while imports increased. Exports declined by 8.4% year-on-year to 3.9 billion euros, and lower sales to third countries, that is -15%, and the EU -2.7%. Meanwhile, imports rose by 3.8% to 7.0 billion euros, driven by increased purchases from EU at 4.6% and third countries at 2.8%. Now, considering the first 3 months of the year, the country's trade deficit widened slightly to 8.3 billion euro from 8.0 billion euros in the corresponding period a year ago. Exports fell by 1.7%, while imports urged by 0.4%. Now, that's what we had for you in regards to what's trading today in economics. Let's pause here now, and we'll be back with news beyond the borders. Stay tuned.
Mukungu lelekwa tuko maikuto wami na apiri kwa mavchaziva. Mwere kisema app ato wakasi nchavu kamso, zakare liferile, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone. Imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali zira mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamas fera sesfa app ya imba kize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Africans, ni zengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders. We start off regionally, we move over to continental news, and thereafter international news. We're starting off in South Africa, where the Lesotho South Africa border post will soon be upgraded.
Two of the busiest ports of entry between Lesotho and South Africa will soon undergo massive upgrades.
As you can see, that's a stopwatch.
Maseru and Maputo Bridge are earmarked for an end-to-end binational release study regarding an in-depth diagnostic of border procedures. This study is preceded by a landmark agreement that enables Lesotho holders of ordinary passport a conditional 90 days visa exemption into South Africa.
Our minister, as well as his counterpart, Minister of Home Affairs, Dr. Schreiber, as well as his counterparts, after having considered holders of ordinary Lesotho passports.
Several neighboring ports of entries into South Africa have been earmarked for major upgrades in order to facilitate for a much smoother border operation.
As I indicated, Maseru Bridge at Ficksburg is one of the six that have been identified for that upgrade.
Lesotho has committed to complying with the conducting of this end-to-end time release study.
And I want to reassure all stakeholders that the government of Lesotho is committed to using the data and insights from this study to remove all the bottlenecks, to reduce delays, and to make movement of goods across our borders faster and more predictable.
Both experts and users have hailed this study as key to unlocking trade barriers between the two nations.
So this yen-to-yen TRS model is coming from a successful first of its kind in the region, which was conducted, as mentioned by Director Beresteral, with Eswatini, between Eswatini and South Africa.
TRS is pivotal in providing invaluable data on the time it takes for goods to move across Lesotho and South African borders from arrival to release.
25% of the customs declarations submitted by traders to customs are still not pre-cleared. 25% of bills of entry and manifests are only submitted within an hour before the truck is marked for arrival at the border post. And here, trade needs to listen. If you want a seamless experience that would make a KFC drive-thru jealous, trade needs to come to the party.
Studies already done in other ports of entries have yielded positive results.
This study will serve as a vital tool to guide infrastructure development, procedural alignment, as well as ensuring that border procedures are not only efficient but harmonized on both sides.
We used to take more than 2 hours just to facilitate the trade from one country to another. And I'm happy to indicate to you that as I'm standing here today at Oshun on your border post, we're taking 10 minutes, if not less.
And to the business fraternity, this study could not have come at a better time.
You would find that we have a number of challenges whereby the inspection, you would expect that it will take less than 2 days, but it goes further to 2 weeks or even a month.
As part of this study, we saw the benefits of this working. We are going to see the benefits here. And I know this is going to be a success.
Following a South African binational meeting, the principals of both countries have expressed that they wish to see speedy implementation of the memorandum of agreements signed recently. I'm Rapelang Khatebe for SABC News, Maseko Lesotho.
A report reveals thriving illicit economy in South Africa.
The Transnational Alliance to Combat Illicit Trade released its latest report revealing a thriving illicit economy in South Africa, which is costing the real economy billions of dollars. It's so deeply rooted that it's not only costing out desperately needed revenues, but also killing the most vulnerable.
If less and less products are sold through the formal channels, because government can only see the formal channels and therefore tax the formal channels, it loses out on tax revenues, right? So that's one level at which illicit trade is robbing us as a nation and an economy. But at the lowest level, a consumer could be consuming a defective product. We know about the spaza shop foods, that were sold through spaza shops that led to some fatalities.
A strategic review of South Africa's fight against illicit trade paints a grim picture due to illegal activities spanning various sectors, including tobacco, alcohol, pharmaceuticals, as well as wildlife trafficking.
We are dealing sometimes with the syndicates that have tentacles throughout, the world. So what we do from the National Consumer Commission is we do work with other regulators. So we collaborate with regulators in the US, Europe, other regulators within SADC and throughout the African continent, because as a single regulator, you may not be able to, tackle this, successfully alone.
Efforts to combat these crimes are showing some progress, albeit rather slow.
There has been some progress in the sense that our report overlaps a lot with the Financial Action Task Force findings in 2023, And now we see that the country is on the verge of getting out of the gray listing. What we are proposing now is having a summit, or regional summit, in South Africa. The idea is to continue the work that we already started doing, which is creating a seamless platform between custom authorities, law enforcement, brands, and service providers. Criminals, they have done this for many years. We need to catch up.
Addressing illicit trade is not only about protecting the economy, but also about safeguarding the citizens of South Africa. It will take time. This is no easy fix. But the collaboration between Trasit, Business Unity South Africa, and the government is a move in the right direction. Smita Nadu, CGTN, Johannesburg.
Meanwhile, in Zambia, Chizamba Solar Phase 1 launches this month.
Ongoing energy deficit affecting many parts of the country. Government continues to seek alternative sources of power to stabilize the situation. One such intervention is the 100-megawatt Chizamba Solar Power Plant, currently under development in Kabwe District. Located on over 100 hectares of land, the Chizamba Solar Power Plant is complete and is expected to be commissioned by the end of this month. The project, being implemented in phases, marks a significant step in addressing the country's power challenges. ZESCO Managing Director Justin Longo says the plant will make a key contribution to Zambia's long-term energy security.
This project we started in July, to be specific on the 25th of July, and the target was we should finish within 10 months. We are now in May, and we should be able to commission before close of this month. For us, this is a flagship to show that a solar 100 megawatts project can be done within 10 months, resources being available.
On site, safety remains a top priority.
In terms of financing, it's about $100 billion projects in terms of financing, and then 9.4 is ideally the equity, the actual EPC contracts. Financing aspects can be in the resources, 30% equity coming from its reserves, from the hydropower plant, and then 70% is the debt. That is an aspect of the financing aspect.
The Chizamba plant forms part of government's broader strategy to diversify energy sources, especially in light of drought conditions affecting hydropower generation. With solar energy now taking a bigger role in the national grid, the Chizamba project offers hope for a brighter and more stable clean energy future. Onesta Mshoka, ZNBC News, Kawe.
Kenya has sentenced 4 men for trying to smuggle ants out of the country.
A court in Kenya has sentenced 4 men to 1 year in prison or to pay a fine of over $7,000 each for trying to smuggle thousands of live giant African harvester queen ants out of the country. Authorities said the insects were destined for collectors in Europe and Asia. 2 of the men are Belgian teenagers who said they were collecting them as a hobby and didn't think it was illegal.
When the statute prescribes a specific minimum amount, the court cannot go lower than that amount. So even if we went to the Court of Appeal, the court is not going to revise that. It's either going to change law or revise law. So the best option, I mean, if it's your child, you'd work really hard to have them back home with you than being in prison. So we'll try our best to have them. We need them back to school. We need them back to their lives.
The teenagers had 5,000 ants in their possession when they were arrested on the 5th of April. The magistrate said the sheer numbers suggest this was more than just a hobby. The queen ant is particularly valuable to Kenya's ecosystem.
Being young, it's a story they'll keep telling even their other generations. And when they come to Kenya, when other kids come to Kenya, they'll have reference to this. So it's good jurisprudence, it's good precedent.
In a separate but related case, a Vietnamese and a Kenyan who were found with 400 ants received the same sentence. Some European dealers value the insect at as much as $220 each.
Now on that still, Kenya experts warn of ecological disaster due to insect trafficking.
Kenyan court on Wednesday handed over a $7,700 fine or 12 months in prison to two Belgian nationals for trafficking 5,000 ants out of the country. The Belgian nationals were charged in April 15 with violating wildlife conservation laws.
We should protect what we have with envy, seriously, because until we can match them technologically, we never know what we have until we lose it.
The two were arrested on April 5 with 5,000 ants at a guest house in Nakuru County, which is home to various national parks in Kenya. Entomologist Shadrach Muya, who is a senior lecturer at Kenya's Jomo Kenyatta University of Agriculture and Technology, warned against taking ants from the national habitats, saying that they were unlikely to survive if not supported to adapt to their new environment.
Whenever you bring an organism from a different environment, you are likely to do some intervention for that organism to stabilize. Until it stabilizes, there is a likelihood it's not going to survive there. Survival in the new environment will depend on the interventions that are likely to take place. Where it has to be taken away from, there is a likelihood of an ecological disaster that may happen due to that disturbance.
According to Kenya Wildlife Services, the illegal export of ants not only will undermine Kenya's sovereign rights over its biodiversity, but also deprive local community and research institutions of potential ecological and economic benefits.
Meanwhile, Uganda's screening program focuses on early sickle cell detection among newborns.
For many families in Uganda, sickle cell remains a silent crisis, one that only reveals itself after serious illness or tragedy.
It is a traumatizing situation. Most people go mental. They have mental problems because they are not accepting. That's when families actually, there is violence there. Men tend to leave women, or women tend to leave men because and leave the child in the middle. So what am I saying? It is a problem. Parents find it difficult to understand that, to accept what their child is going to have. Because when we tell you what your child's journey is going to be, some people are not willing to take on that battle.
Each year, more than 20,000 babies in Uganda are born with the sickle cell trait. In some districts like Alebtong, in the northern part of the country, as many as one in four newborns are affected.
It's a silent killer that strikes from birth. But for decades, sickle cell disease went undetected in Uganda's newborns. That's beginning to change. At Mulago National Referral Hospital and across the country, babies are now being screened at birth, a simple test that could mean the difference between life and death.
Doctors say early diagnosis is the turning point, but they also want to go a step further by making premarital sickle cell testing as routine as HIV testing.
There should be mechanisms whereby institutions, religious institutions and families interest all young people into doing a premarital sickle cell testing, just as they always do with premarital HIV testing. So that way, we shall have interventions at a different levels, which are aimed at, first of all, testing for sickle cell gene coverage, and then applying age-appropriate counseling and care interventions.
More than 20 regional hospitals are now equipped to provide early diagnosis and care, but campaigners say access alone isn't enough.
The government should look into what we are advocating for. They should reduce prices of some medications, and some of these medications should actually be given free of charge because they are really helping the warrior out there. And then the other thing is that the gap in education awareness, it's too high. Because of that, stigma is still too much, and a lot of myths are still running around sickle cell.
With more than 300,000 babies born globally each year with sickle cell disease, Uganda's efforts could serve as a model, proving that early action saves lives. Michael Balekesi, GTN, Kampala.
Egypt and Greece to launch 1,000-kilometer underwater power interconnection.
A proposed undersea electricity interconnection between Egypt and Greece is now set to become a reality. The two countries, through their top leadership, renewed their pledge during talks in Athens following the signing of cooperation agreement across multiple sectors. We want to give the opportunity to Egyptians, especially young Egyptians, to come legally to our country to work here. And this is also the best response to those who claim that the policy of Greece and of Europe is limited solely to restricting illegal immigration. It should not be the traffickers, Mr. President, who decided who enters the European Union. It must be an organized decision taken sovereignly by the states of Europe in close cooperation and coordination with friendly countries such as Egypt. Among the other deal included a 3,000-megawatt underwater cable which will stretch nearly 1,000 kilometers across Mediterranean, linking Egypt and Europe. I also stress the extreme importance that we attach to the electricity interconnection project between Egypt and Greece. It is not just a bilateral project, but also a strategic step with regional and international dimensions, given that it is considered the first direct link for clean energy coming from Egypt to Europe through Greece, and we look forward to the continued support of the European Union for this ambitious project and to speed up the steps to implement it. The project is estimated to cost around $4.5 billion and is expected to become operational within 5 years under an ambitious timeline set by both governments.
Rwanda is in talks with the U.S. on accepting deported migrants.
The migration agreement marks yet another chapter in Rwanda's engagement on global migration issues. Rwanda's Foreign Affairs Minister, Ambassador Olivier Nduhungirehe, told the country's public broadcaster that the talks are still preliminary, but Rwanda is open to migration cooperation with the U.S., provided key issues like security are addressed.
It's a bilateral discussion between the U.S. government and the Rwandan government. Rwanda has been engaged in migration deals with the UK, as you will remember, but even with the UN and the African Union for the evacuation of the migrants stranded in Libya. And we are now in talks with the US about a deal on migration. So it's not the first time that we'll be engaging in such a kind of deal, but this is a bilateral issue, bilateral negotiation that is not linked to a resolution of the conflict in the region.
No timeline has been set for the first arrivals, but the officials say that Rwanda is taking a cautious and a case-by-case approach. This wouldn't be the first such agreement. In 2022, Rwanda signed a deal with the United Kingdom to accept asylum seekers, a plan that was later cancelled by British Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Meanwhile, Rwanda and Democratic Republic of Congo are set to sign a peace agreement at the White House in Washington, hosted by the U.S. President Donald Trump. President Paul Kagame and his Congolese counterpart, President Felix Tshisekedi, will sign the deal. It is seen as a key step towards ending the conflict in Eastern DRC. The agreement could also lead to future economic and migration deals with the USA.
We indeed signed the Declaration of Principles in Washington on 25th of April. And according to that document, on the 2nd of May, that was the day to generate the first draft peace agreement that would be signed at the White House next month. And I think both delegations, at least for our side, we provided our inputs, our contributions to this text, which will be negotiated by experts in the coming days. And we will have a second ministerial meeting in Washington in the third week of this month, of May. And then to finalize that text, that peace agreement, which will be submitted to heads of state in mid-June.
As the dialogue continues, Rwanda remains in the global spotlight for its role in tackling migration issues. The country hosts over 100,000 migrants and asylum seekers. Most of them come from the neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo, Burundi, and others sent to Rwanda by the UN Refugee Agency, like Afghanistan and Libya. Ethan Tashabia for CGTN, Kigali, Rwanda.
Thousands have been killed in India-Pakistan border clashes.
21 people have been killed in attacks in India and Pakistan. India launched missile attacks on 9 sites in Pakistan and Pakistani Kashmir early Wednesday. Pakistan says 6 locations were targeted and that it had shot down 5 Indian fighter jets. Officials say nearly 550 scheduled flights have been cancelled in India and Pakistan since the airstrikes. Daniel Khan reports in Pakistani-controlled Kashmir, and Ravinda Bauer has more from Delhi.
The Pakistan government says it has authorized its armed forces to undertake corresponding actions after India's strikes, marking a serious escalation in regional tensions. A high-level National Security Committee meeting chaired by Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif condemned what it called India's illegal acts, branding them blatant violations of international laws and violations of Pakistan's sovereignty and acts of war under international law. The NSC accused Indian military of deliberately targeting civilians, including women and small children, calling it a vicious crime. The meeting was attended by the top brass of Pakistan military and intelligence, along with the officials of the cabinet of Pakistan's government. The latest escalation comes at a delicate time for Pakistan as the country struggles to recover from one of its worst economic crises in recent history, with inflation still being very high and foreign reserves very thin. So far, the official response has focused on national unity and deterrence, but behind the scenes, economic concerns are quite real. Market analysts are warning that a prolonged conflict could rattle investor confidence and disrupt the IMF negotiations.
Well, just after the kinetic action of India and Pakistan, it has been a day full of developments. Here we are, where we are right now, the mock drills of civil defense and disaster management force. That has been going on. NDRF personnel, police personnel, civil defense volunteers are all here actually carrying out exercises to, you know, evacuate people in case of any emergency. That's what is going on in Delhi in many places. Apart from that, in 250 districts across the country. Apart from that, just after the kinetic action, what we saw was that the military gave a comment in which they clearly stated that this strike was measured, it was focused, and it was non-escalatory. And this was reiterated in a media briefing which was organized just after a few hours of this attack, where a number of media personnel were present, where we heard the Foreign Secretary. Apart from that, there was symbolism or a symbolic briefing which was being carried out by 2 defense women officials.
China's visa-free policy boosts tourism and shifts perceptions.
Bookings have skyrocketed 173% year-on-year this May Day holiday, with Shanghai, Beijing, and Guangzhou the top 3 destinations, according to Ctrip.
My first impression is this is a very modern city.
First time in China, and, because I'm in the automotive industry. So I heard that there are a lot of China cars also, especially on the EV in my country in Malaysia. So I came here basically to, we went to the Shanghai Auto Show last Saturday, and it's very impressive. The city, Shanghai city, also is very impressive to me.
Going to the very top of the Shanghai Tower was cool, and seeing like the whole of the Shanghai skyline, seeing the modern and the culture and the traditional sides all blurred together was amazing. So yeah, I picked up some really amazing pieces, especially from like independent Chinese brands, because they're special things that I wouldn't be able to get in the brand.
A recent delegation of Generation Z explorers traveled to Shanghai on a self-funded immersion program. For most, this marked their first encounter, not just with Shanghai, but also China. They said it was an experience that reshaped their perceptions.
So I knew Shanghai would be very developed, very like futuristic type. But I'm very surprised at how quiet the city is. Like all the electric cars, all the electric bikes, like the metro is very easy. It's very clean. I already want to come back, not on a transit visa, with like a proper tourist visa and see the whole country.
And I really like doing the night cruise at night when you could see the skyline lit up. That was really nice. I think China.
US and UK to announce deal to reduce tariffs.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lewis Bourne Jones. The United States and the UK are to announce a deal to reduce tariffs later. Neither country has officially confirmed the details, but President Trump says it'll be a, quote, major trade deal with a big and highly respected country. And in the last hour, the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, has teased the announcement. Have a listen to what he said during a statement on defence.
And we must use this moment to do the same, deepening our partnerships with allies, old and new, from across Europe to meet the defence challenges of our age, to the United States, an indispensable ally for our economic and national security. As you know, talks with the US have been ongoing, and you'll hear more from me about that later today.
Right, let's try and work out what's happening here. Joining me is our chief political correspondent, Henry Zeffman at Westminster, and our deputy economics editor, Darshini David. Right, let's start in Westminster. Henry, what do we know and not know about what's about to happen?
Well, what we know is that a deal is going to be announced by the US and the UK later today. What we don't know is basically everything else. I mean, we have a sense. We have a sense that this is going to be a deal which is not, by the way, a full comprehensive free trade deal, but does specifically reduce some of the tariffs that have been imposed by Donald Trump, perhaps mitigate their impact. And of course, also the UK will have offered the US things in return. That's all going to be very interesting. But diplomatically, politically, I think this is a big win for Sir Keir Starmer, because lots of countries have wanted a deal like this. The UK appears to have got there first. And this morning.
And now that has brought us to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. Do stay tuned for the Voters Preparation Program, brought to you by Bishop Lucas Katenda, and the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut kicks off at 16:30. Now from Indafa, happy Shushuidus, goodbye. I'll see you again on Friday for yet another edition and the last edition for this week's episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. Have yourself a wonderful day.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Mukungulewa tuko maikuto amina apidi kwa mavchaziva. Mvele kisema app ato kasin chav kamso. Zakare liferire mise kunani zencha kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi na lifera fama kepe muvone maikuto amancha a imba ep mwikute kuligusie mba santo ye mietuna mwikole sfera fama kepe marizo hola mina hamuvone imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya nifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilimi kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali njira mlimu Zeni, Zef Mani Hamas Fera Sesfa Ep ya Imba, Ize Tatama, Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaemuriro, Catholic, Smani Kakarunga, Africans, Nizeni Zenata. Mululi Zeze Gachenu, Haiva Mtavera Kulisfera Sakereke Yamina, Si Ekezwe Fam Koloko Walifera Za Imba, 0812358063. Kapamulumere imele kwa digitalitomalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu. Mugona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Owuli omunangeshefa nowahala okushigitha omayakulo oye okupitila mohori keradio station oyo Eagle FM enyamukulo olongaha ninge kwatafano na Monica koshikondo sheipindi konora 8 heyali imwe ne heyali imwe imwe nohamano. That is 0817147116 mombelewa konora 83 mbali o 83 ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live.